96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Solution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, CFL, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Island Pay, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We have quite a number of things going on. We're going to get into them today. The big news coming out today is that the Grand Lucayan Hotel has been sold to a group called Electra America Hospitality Group out of Florida. And the governor of the Bahamas is going to get $100 million for the hotel. And so far, it looks pretty good to me. We'll talk about it in a moment, but I got a couple other things I need to talk about. I'm happy it's sold. I look forward to seeing the heads of agreement to make sure there's nothing wacky in there, like free electricity, like Christie those were into, or, you know, lending people money like Minnesota those were into. But I think that this is a good development. All right, it's a good development, and $100 million is a good chunk of change. And I am just very happy that my taxpayer dollars are no longer going to prop up and fund the operation of a hotel that didn't make any sense to begin with. $200 million later, according to Minister of Tourism and Aviation and Investments, Chester Cooper, we have really not seen any grand benefit from it. Hopefully this sale will mean that we're going to see a real impact for Grand Bahama, although there are other components as well that we will talk about in a minute. And I have some of Chester Cooper's speech today for you to listen to and digest. But before we do that, let me just talk about a couple of other developments that are going on. All right. So, there's COVID spreading in schools throughout New Providence. Some of them have been deeply impacted by COVID. My son's school is closed for grade 3 and 6. That's Queens College, because there's been an outbreak of COVID there, according to the school anyway. An uptick of COVID cases, let me say, before I frighten everybody. St. Anne's School is closing down. All right. For in-person learning. And as you know, the GLAT is coming up right around the corner on the 23rd. And what I think they're trying to do, and Stephen Dillett School is also closed, and a couple other schools, I understand, doing virtual learning. And what I think they're trying to do, and you know what? I can support it for the next couple of weeks. They're trying to just make sure that they do virtual learning for this week and next week so that they, whoever has coronavirus, COVID-19, it can burn out and they can go ahead and take their GLAT exams in person on the 23rd. So as long as they get to do that, I'm happy with that. Other than that, you go ahead and shut the school down. Knock yourself out. I just ain't trying to go through this virtual learning forever because there's still at least another month of school left. And I think that if, you know, you could take your end of year exams and you can go shut that puppy down early, all right? And we'll keep it pushing. I am certain Brave Davis won't be shutting down no significant amount of number of businesses. That's not going to happen. They'll shut every school in the country down before that occurs. So I think you just need to check it out with the schools. You need to be careful if you got COVID. See, my issue with COVID-19, right? It's not even so much the COVID-19. And that people get sick and people can die. People have died. People do get sick, right? The vast majority of people were okay, you know? But my issue isn't even the COVID-19. My issue is just this reaction to it, right? Like it's some supercharged alien hybrid version of leprosy and AIDS that can be spread by sight. It's just, you know, like relax, all right? Be safe. Try to follow protocols, all right? But there's no need for this up in the... Oh, God! The World Health Organization says shut it all down! And can't nobody get water. And you standing in front of me like a huge goofball talking about... We're trying to protect lives, right? So I can't go to the pump and get water, right? But I'm sitting in my house without water while my relatives soil themselves. And you're trying to... And you want TV time, but... Anyway, let me stop. I'm going to go back to a place of anger. Again, let me try to wash that away, my feelings about what occurred over the past couple of years. Anyway, looks like an uptick in COVID-19. You can tell by the 7-day average that it is increasing. Relax, take your time, don't freak out. If your kids are sick, don't send them to school. This is normal procedure. Yeah? If your kids are sick, don't send them to school. Because here's what's true. All these schools have all the health protocols in place. Not 100% of people follow them to the T, but there's already social distancing at school. There's already hand sanitizing at school. There's already mask wearing at school. And they're still catching COVID-19 because it's a contagious disease. All right. Hopefully it's the Omicron variant. That's what it looks like. The hospital's still doing well, but, you know, these things often trail for a number of weeks. We probably are looking at the Easter holiday. The after effects of that. So a lot of people traveled. A lot of people had gatherings. A lot of people went out. I went out. I went to some places in the daytime. And, you know, just try to be as careful as possible. All right. I'm getting a great look. I don't know for me. Here's the other thing I want to point out, too. Bread basket costs rise, right? So here's the thing. I don't know that there's an argument that you could convince me that the difference between lowering the VAT on 90% of items and adding VAT to 10% of items is anything more than negligible, right? But, the fact of the matter is prices are rising, and when you have to pay VAT on top of the rising prices of things you didn't have to pay VAT on before that were even cheaper, you do tend to feel it, all right? Now, breadbasket items, some of them are going up, but it's only from about a few pennies, right? And I get it, and I get what the F&M's trying to do, too. I get you're trying to latch on to a popular idea. I don't know, well, you know, to me, I don't know how you look me in the eyeballs and talk about you fighting for the common man when you put VAT up on everything, right? Because y'all just talk, and I'm not trying to make no argument for the government, I'm just saying I just don't get it. But I understand the perception that people have. So when VAT goes up on every Jesus thing in society by 60%, you're telling me you're looking out for the common man because you took VAT off bread basket items. Here's what I'll say. If I were Brave Davis, I'd take the VAT off the bread basket items and just be like, there you go. And now you can shut up about it. And the prices are still going to be high. People are still going to be in desperate financial situations. And that's something that needs a more holistic, targeted approach by the government. All right? It's not something that taking VAT off breadbasket items is going to solve at all. Right? But I would do it and just go, well, now your talking point's done. Now explain to me what else you want me to do. So you no longer have something to beat a drum about. That's off breadbasket items. Everything's up, right? Because inflation's up. Inflation rose 8.3% in the United States. It's the highest they had in 40 years. Right? Our inflation is expected to rise 7.3% this year. Gas is now over $6.30 a gallon at all gas stations on New Providence. Gas is nearly $8 a gallon on most family islands. We are dealing with a set of circumstances that are chiefly beyond our control in terms of bringing the price of things down. And so there's going to be a squeeze. Now, what you could do as government is stop pump faking, talking about you're spending $30 million on a baseball stadium while you come threaten me by garnishing my wages because I owe property tax. You could do that. There's a number of things that you could do, right? But if you want to take the VAT off the breadbasket items, go right ahead. I'd kill that talking point. That ain't no hard thing to do at all, right? It was done before. All they got to do is reprogram their point of sale systems. And that's it. All right. All right. What going up on breadbasket items? Let me tell you. Is there a point in this article that explains which that went up on which item? Let me see. Okay, items are cooking oil, corned beef, evaporated milk, flour, and margarine. Let me ask you a question. Who in their right mind is still cooking with margarine? Help me to understand. Who's still cooking with margarine? Cooking oil is important. Corned beef I don't eat, but I get it. Some people do. Evaporated milk. Corned beef is going up too because the Brazilians are having problems. That's where it comes from Brazil and Argentina, right? When they go slaughter their cows. And, you know, they're left with all the, like, the hooves and the intestines, yeah, and the pancreas and the brains and the snout. Does a cow have a snout? Is that, what do you call a cow's? Is it a snout? Yeah, snout. That's where you're eating corned beef. Snout, what they do is they take a shovel. You ever seen a slaughterhouse? I'm sorry, some of you may be eating lunch. They take a shovel and everything on the slaughterhouse floor that they can't sell at a premium, they take and they put it into a big meat grinder, and that's your corned beef. It's not something that humans should eat on a regular basis. Now, I don't know who's still cooking with margarine or why margarine is on the breadbasket. I don't know why, and I'm not even freaking out on the F&M, but I'm saying this. Y'all keep going, why didn't y'all change the breadbasket to put fruits and vegetables on the breadbasket or water on the breadbasket? And margarine's bad for you. Bad. That's what I'm saying about scientists. You know, we sit there and go, well, the scientists, you Negroes on Facebook don't believe in science. Remember 20 years ago when margarine was the answer to cholesterol? Yes? And the fat and butter they said was bad for you. Remember that? Margarine. They sold it like, oh, I can't believe it's not butter. Butter's the devil. And they come back and go, oh, we were wrong. Margarine's terrible for you. So sorry. Right? So scientists don't always get it right. Give me a break. Right. I listen, I pay attention, but I often wait for them to go, hey, we didn't quite look at all of it, so there we go. Anyway, I don't think that taking that off breadbasket items is going to do much. If you were to add more things to the breadbasket and then say we're going to take that off it so that people could consume more healthy food, absolutely, I'd say go right ahead. Do that. If I'm Brave Davis, I'm taking the VAT off the breadbasket items. Y'all happy? VAT off breadbasket items. Help to understand. Help. Let me help you now to understand that what is happening on the worldwide stage. All right? Now, it's not my fault, although I was in charge of BAMSI. But We don't grow food here in the Bahamas. All right? We don't. You know what kills me? I'm going to talk about the hotel, too. And I don't like to hate on Bahamians, but y'all's be, like, running off with some crazy stuff. Like, everyone, so they're talking about the Grand Lacayan Hotel, and you look online, like, oh, well, what for Bahamians? What for Bahamians? You're not interested in doing for Bahamians? You, personally, you're interested in your government doing for you that which you do not want to do. All right? You can grow food. Y'all are interested in that? Y'all are interested in farming and local produce and everything like that? Your diet doesn't match your energy, right? With all the American fast food we wolf down. Y'all ain't... What you talking about? Anyway. It says margarine is one molecule away from being considered plastic. Absolutely. Agreed. Yeah. I don't know why it's on the breadbasket. I don't know why Duane Sands didn't change it. See, that's the thing. When you're in government, right? Sometimes you got to be like YOLO. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you got to be like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and pull this trigger. Because you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't a lot of times. And it is what it is, right? So I can pull the trigger. And I can take margarine off. I can put a lot of things on the bread basket. Let me just pull this trigger and go right ahead. All right? In any event, good luck with that. With your corned beef. I do use evaporated milk. I do use flour. I'm at a point where, because I can't afford it, although it does, you know, become somewhat of a strain, I try not to closely examine how much everything is going up. Because it's only going to add pressure to me. Because I can't afford it. Now, if I couldn't afford it, I might have been out here walking the street talking to myself. So I don't know how broke people make it. I don't know how poor people make it. But, yeah. Bread basket, prices went up by a few cents on cooking oil, corned beef, evaporated milk, flour, and margarine. Says, Jesus, Juan, I can't eat corned beef anymore, but thanks for putting it out there. Boy, I didn't know that's what makes corned beef. Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. And you know the standard for, I'm not trying to diss Brazil, right? So there's a lot of meat. Brazil produces a lot of food, exports a lot of food. And they have problems now because they can't access fertilizer because of the war in Ukraine. China has blocked the sale of fertilizer from China. But Brazil's, I'm not saying the U.S. is some pristine example, but some of the Brazil food produce places, they don't have the standards that, say, the USDA would have, right? So when I'm talking about they scoop it up off the floor, I'm being serious, right? And all the, like, the rats and stuff that are around and putting drop-ins around and peeing on the stuff, they can get just all that goes into the mix, right? And they just grind it up in a nice slurry, right? And then it's kind of partially cooked. Well, it's cooked to where it hits a certain temperature and you won't get sick if you open it and eat it. You can eat corned beef right out of the can, you know. I mean, I wouldn't do it. But you could take a spoon and start eating corned beef if you was, like, super hungry. It says hot dogs made similarly. Yeah, hot dogs are. Yeah, hot dogs too. That's why I limit my hot dog consumption. Because, like, I'll go to the movies, eat a hot dog. That's about it. And I'll eat, like, a small hot dog. And my mother used to do that. I feel bad. I feel conflicted about it. Because my mother would be like, I'll pick my mom up. We'd go out. And she'd be like, I want to get a hot dog. And I'd be like, Mommy, I don't think you should eat a hot dog from the lady on the side of the street. I just don't know that that's a wise thing to do. And she'd be like, well, I want the hot dog. And so normally I would argue with her. I'd be like, let me get you something else. And she'd be like, let me get you something else. But she did want the hot dog. And I guess, you know, she was going to go, you know, anyway in a few years. So I guess she could have enjoyed the hot dog. It's like someone I know, their mom passed away. And one of the last things their mother asked them for was KFC. And they were very sick. And the person was like, no, you can't eat KFC. It's not... you know, healthy. It's not on your diet that the doctor said you should be on.
And they
the person's mother died weeks later. And they still mention that to this day. Right. So I guess there's YOLO in that circumstance as well. It says, we're going to talk about the Grand Lucan right now. Hold on. Great show as usual, Juan. Thanks. There goes lunch. No problem. Now you know. Now you know. Juan, can we please all agree that the most important issues facing the Bahamas is food and energy independence? Let's focus on the hits. All other talk is album filler. Food, energy independence. I mean, those are up there. I think you got like a top five. It says if a few rats get scooped up in the corned beef slurry, that's probably a better grade of meat. I mean, we could talk. You ain't ever watched a documentary on the slaughterhouse, bro? You know what they do to these cows and chickens and pigs? It ain't pretty. And then the people go, oh, it's organic, right? We won't raise the pig in a cage. Does it matter? Does the pig taste different if you slaughter it on a farm than in a big, huge warehouse with 50,000 other pigs? What's the difference? This pig was loved, therefore it's more succulent? I don't understand. Anyway... Y'all eating lunch. I ain't gonna complain to you what's going on. There's a lot of... We gotta take a break. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about Grand Lucan. Stay tuned.
Just use beef. It's fresh, never frozen. Our burgers are square because we never cut corners. Served hot off the grill with fresh lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and American cheese. We believe in fast food done right. Always serving fresh, never frozen beef. Order a hot, juicy Dave single, double, or triple. Made with fresh, never frozen beef. Now only at Wendy's. Different inside and out.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Wendy's, we are different. We don't just use beef. It's fresh, never frozen. Our burgers are square because we never cut corners. Served hot off the grill with fresh lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and American cheese. We believe in fast food done right. Always serving fresh, never frozen beef. Order a hot, juicy Dave single, double, or triple. Made with fresh, never frozen beef. Now only at Wendy's. Different inside and out.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. We'll do some of your text messages for the remainder of this hour, and we'll get deeply into Grand Lew Kyan on the other side. We'll play some of Chester Cooper's speech for you, or I may just read some of it to you in the interest of time. It says, Jesus, Juan, you just made me scorch corned beef off my grocery list. go buy the corned beef if you want it. It ain't no good for you, but go right ahead. You know what I mean? If that's what you got to do. Now, telling somebody something bad for them, in my experience, don't stop nobody from actually doing it or eating it or, you know what I mean? So I used to smoke cigarettes, and my sister would always complain about me smoking and tell me, oh, you know, you're going to drop down dead from smoking cigarettes, right? And like, yeah, that's fine. You know what I mean? And she would send me like pictures of people who have like emphysema, like pictures of their autopsied lungs. They're all shriveled and black and stuff. I still smoke. I wasn't checking. You know, it's just a matter of your personal preference. I quit when I got married. Good morning, corned beef black. It says, Juan, why do you want to dismiss the VAT on breadbasket items as if it'll have no effect? So by that, would you say the government should no longer allow people with low BPL bills not to pay VAT on it? For a sector of society, every cent makes a difference. It's not logical to say because it won't solve the whole problem, we should not help to alleviate the pain by some measure. Now, I don't know that I agree with your analogy, but I can agree with some of what you said. Now, I wouldn't say it's not logical to say it because it won't solve the whole problem. We should not alleviate the pain by some measure, because that's not the logic I'm presenting. The logic I'm presenting is, overall, I do not think it would make that much of a difference, and so I think the reaction to it is not proportionate to the actual impact. All right, but it's still a thing. I'm not saying it's not a thing, all right? Now, I don't agree with your analogy about BPL, because with BPL, you don't choose to consume certain types of electricity or certain types of fuel. With the grocery store, you can choose what you actually pick up. So you don't have to eat flour. You don't have to eat evaporated milk. You don't have to eat corned beef. You don't have to use cooking oil or margarine or any of the other things that are on the bread basket. You don't have to do that, right? With BPL, you don't get a choice. You pay what the electricity costs. That's it. So I don't agree with your analogy. Here's what I'm saying, though, so that I'm clear. I'm saying that if I'm Brave Davis, just to have people stop talking about it, I'm going to take the VAT off the breadbasket items. In my head, I'm knowing it's not making that much of an impact, but I'm going to take the bread off the VAT off the bread basket items. But let me explain to you what you're going to do as soon as you take the VAT off the bread basket items, right? So contrary to popular belief, the majority of Bahamians are not poor, all right? There are quite a number of Bahamians who are, far too many. There are a number of Bahamians who are working class. There are a number of Bahamians who are middle class. There are a number of Bahamians who are wealthy, okay? Those who are not poor can afford to pay. So while you suggest that we take the VAT off the bread basket items because it's going to help the poor, the rich are also getting the same tax break as the poor. Because you don't go to the store and go, I make X amount of dollars and therefore I can pay the VAT or not pay the VAT. So not to demonize anybody, but the people in Lyford Key, they don't pay the VAT on the bread basket items, right? People at Albany, they're not paying the VAT on the bread basket items if you take it off. So you're giving them a tax break too. Because you say you want to help the most fortunate. Now, how they did with BPL is a better way. I didn't like it at first. I didn't think it made a ton of sense, but I'm more comfortable with it because it does make a difference. So, for instance, the VAT on BPL went down, right? I didn't like the tiered system of charging VAT at BPL. I thought it was silly. However, if we're paying less VAT overall on BPL, I'm all about it. And if you have a tiered system and I don't hit a threshold, I'm not charged the VAT at all, I'm with it. So BPL is a better example of what you could do, but it's almost impossible to do that at the checkout line. All right. So to me, you're giving everybody a tax break. So all the hotels that buy all this stuff, flour, evaporated milk, margarine, corned beef, does anyone who owns a hotel buy corned beef? They're getting a tax break too. They can afford to pay the taxes, but they're not. So for you to give the poor a dollar or two tax break per grocery bill, all right, you're giving everybody else an out to not pay those taxes. So you're actually going to come out of it losing more money than you actually helped alleviate from the poor, if you can understand what I'm saying. All right? So to me, it won't make any sort of real difference. And you're also telling the rich people that, hey, we're going to give you a break too. Right? Because the rich people, no one stops you at the food store and goes, ah, you're rich, you can afford it. Right? It's the same for everybody. Right? Now, we could talk about some other things, you know, real property tax. We could talk about some other places where taxation could be alleviated to help people who may be more vulnerable. I don't think taking the value add tax off bread basket items is going to be a great deal of help. I think what you do want to do is you want to find ways to get money in the hands of the vulnerable more quickly, so that they can be alleviated with the overall cost of everything going up. All right. So poor people have lots of needs, just like people who are well off. And to suggest that taking VAT off breadbasket items is going to make all the difference in the world to all the poor people, I think it's fallacious, and I don't think anyone has any data to prove that. I think it's just something you say to make yourself feel good, which is fine. We can do that all day, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to stake your political future a lot on what you actually did for people, but also a lot on how you actually made people feel. Right. But I don't see it. Right? Everyone keeps saying it to me and say, do it. If you take the VAT off the breadbasket items, no problem. Poor people may get a tax break. The fact remains there's VAT on all the other food. And you're giving me, who can afford to pay, a tax break as well. But you know what? I'll take it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Play this record as frequently as possible.
Friday, May 20th, it's time to feel good.
It's Star Wars 6 and Four Walls.
Feel good Friday.
Classic.
The Star 106 Anniversary Edition.
Happening at the Four Walls Squash and Social Club Village Road.
It's the after work.
I got so
early vibes.
Vintage.
Block party.
Exclusively for the grown and sexy.
With the best in throwback classics.
Happening at the new outdoor terrace bar at Four Walls.
Limited tickets on sale now at the Nassau Guardian and Four Walls for $20 in advance.
Come out early to enjoy the open rum bar from 5 to 6 p.m.
This is a strictly cashless party.
So bring your old school dancing moves with your new school payment options.
Feel Good Fridays, Friday, May 20th.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of flame-grilled beef, crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I will not be here on Friday because I have a appointment that I cannot postpone. Is that for me? You want to talk to me? No? Is it urgent? I can put these people on hold. They. Do you want? I make Kermit go to a break. They'll wait for me. You know? All right. Okay. They're fine. They like me. They'll hold on. Okay. I won't be here on Friday. I have an appointment I can't, that I have to do. Let's do some more text messages. Let's talk about Ground Lakine in earnest. Okay. This says, hey Juan, where's PM Davis? Why is he not in the country with all these important things happening? Like the death of the Americans in Exuma and the sale of the Grand Bahama Hotel. Now, I wouldn't say you have to be here for the death of the Americans, but I'm not clear on where he is. I know he went to Middle Tennessee State University, got the honorary doctorate, but I don't know exactly what it is that he's doing. Maybe somebody can enlighten me. If I were the prime minister, I was going to be here for the Grand Lakine sale announcement, for certain. I know Chester Cooper spearheaded that, but I was still going to, you know, get a little camera time. I won't be in the picture. You know what I mean? I want him to know I was here. All right? It's me too. Yeah, I have no idea where he is. I was looking to see where we could find, if BIS had said anything about where he is. I don't see anything. Maybe on vacation. You know, have the right to time off. It says, one, inflation in the U.S. was caused by Biden trying to put money in the hands of everyone quickly. It's a tricky situation for sure. Yes, you want to help people, but will they really spend it on needs and not wants? But now he has a scapegoat and is blaming everything on the war in Ukraine. My cousin in the U.S. got $2,500, Jesus, and bought some Yeezys and a new flat screen. Yeah, I think Biden was deeply misguided in doing that. We go, oh, y'all want people to starve? And no, we want people to go work. They just were saying they have 80,000 jobs in the United States they can't fill. Because a lot of people chilling at home, and they're like, you know, I can just chill. I won't work. I mean, in reality, you can eventually confront them, you know, when they don't all get rich off TikTok, but still. And now they have the task of trying to ease inflation without causing a recession. And good luck with that. I don't think you'll be successful. I think by 2024, we're probably looking at a recession. May not be a hardcore one, but possible. I don't see how you're going to dry the money up and then not trigger a recession. But I'm not, you know, on the Federal Reserve Board, so. Let's go to the phone line. I would like to be on the Federal Reserve Board. If I have no background in economics or finance, but if someone would like to give me that job, I would be happy to take it. It says, cheap food vendors. That's who's cooking with margarine. And yes, healthy food should be breadbasket, not just popular foods because Bahamians like to eat them. That's why we're number 6 for obesity. Yeah, we should ban margarine as a going concern in the nation. Says we could have stayed cooped up in our houses and COVID would have still spread because the trigger is exponential tourist arrivals. We haven't had one single exponential increase in tourists without a COVID spike and not one COVID spike in the absence of tourists. Tourists interact with police, immigration, customs, airline workers, tourism officials, doctors, nurses, beach vendors, etc. All those people go home at night. This has nothing to do with a holiday. You may be right. You may be right because spring break might be it. Says the spike started with spring break before Easter. Luckily for us, it appears to be a mild strain. Yeah, nobody's going to the hospital. And you don't want your kids to get sick, but I was talking to someone about this the other day, and they were like, oh, well, my daughter was home for 2 years because of COVID, and I sent her back to school, and now she's coming home. She's got sniffles and all that stuff like that. And I was like, well, you know, you don't want your children to get sick, and it's a very gut-wrenching thing to watch them be sick at all, ever, with anything. But getting sick is a part of life that children need to go to unless they're in a great deal of danger. They need to go through unless they're in a great deal of danger. Right, in order to build up their immune systems. Because I used to be like that too. pediatrician, everything. Oh, God, they sneeze. Pediatrician, like, they're going to have to collect these germs. They're going to have to get, you know, I wouldn't say they have to go get COVID, but I'm saying, like, little ailments is a part of how you get stronger. That's how we survive as a human race, right? Look at how we survive. Like the bubonic plague. Yeah. The flu pandemic 100 years ago, we survived that. Polio killed a bunch of people. You know what I mean? And so, you know, so that's how we progress as human beings. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello,
good afternoon. Are you there? Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, hello.
Oh, okay, good. Listen, Vaughn, with the new approach that their inland revenue is taking because of the, I mean, they want to collect the taxes.
Right.
Exactly what is the surcharge?
What do you mean? Which surcharge?
On the bill. When they send you, they have the actual bill and then your surcharge.
On your inland revenue bill?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar
with it. Okay, that's my point. Exactly.
Yeah. I didn't get a bill this year. So.
Okay. I got mine. Okay. Now, the surcharge, it seems like it's some interest or some extra little thing they're charging you for being late and not paying it on time.
Oh, okay.
Now, my question is, my point is, I'm wondering what the public thinks about this. Mind you, we're supposed to pay it every year, granted.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of us haven't been doing it. Now, the country and the world has gone through, for the last 2 years, some serious events. Now, how do you feel about them approaching us and telling us that they're going to garnish your pay, they're going to do this, and in some cases, they'll put a loan, I mean, they'll give you a loan to pay the bill and the bank deducts it and all of that.
Right.
I would think if you want to encourage people, the Bahamian people, to pay the bill, just give us the bill that you can't put a surcharge on something you didn't invest anything in.
Right.
So encourage us to pay this bill or make the payment. But out this, because the surcharge, I look at one of my things, one of the years, is almost the same as the tax.
I need to check that. Yeah, good question. Here's how I feel. Here's how I feel about it. You ask how I feel about it. I feel before you come tell me you're going to garnish my wages and all this, go find the people who own these properties that have sat there for years that are worth probably millions of dollars who haven't paid any taxes on them. Go find them. Go seize their property if they're not willing to pay. All right? Go collect those taxes first before you come hit me.
All right? Check and for all my those few ministers clients. In there who say they don't know nothing about their annual report.
While you value in my
their
home.
Their taxes are paid.
Right. While you reevaluate in my home, go ahead and raise the ceiling on property tax that these people pay from $5 million to $20 million.
And not only that, you know, they went up about 200% on our taxes.
They tell me that's not the case, but I've heard a lot of different stuff. Yeah, now, I asked them to come here, and I got radio silence since I put the request in.
One of my properties I was paying $300 for because it's a commercial building.
Right.
And this year it's almost $1,000.
Right. But you had to know $300 was low.
No, not really, because
on a whole building?
I cannot say what I'm paying for. You're paying for me to exist. I mean, I'm paying to exist.
Okay, that's what the tax is.
How do you put a rate on that, or how do you put a price on that?
That's what, my brother, you get a decor and a whole argument, right? How does the government determine that you have to pay them to operate in your own country? And that, unfortunately, the government is the only entity that can actually do that.
When they don't have it, they just tell you they don't have it.
Right.
But yet they're demanding now. And with the way the world is today, this isn't no time to put something like, because I can't even sleep in the night now, because they're going to either give you a loan or they're going to garnish your money in the bank and just take it from you.
Yeah, I'm not interested in all that.
No,
so
but whether you're interested or not.
Go clear up all your stuff
leading up to.
And go, well, we'll see. I'm going to keep trying getting them, though, but I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that approach.
And like, I wish they'll explain what the surcharge is, what we don't, like you say, you don't know, I don't know.
I'm going to ask for you. I'm going to find out.
Okay, I want to listen in one day.
Okay, thanks, man. All right. Nobody wants to pay taxes. Like, if you come to me, would you like to pay taxes on your property? No, thanks. Do you want to pay taxes on goods and services? No, I'm good. Thank you. So, but we don't have a choice. The government has the power to make you pay, right? No one else can do that. Just the government. Okay, that visual was enough to turn me off of corned beef. Says, boy, one, it seems like Dr. Minnis is still leader of the FNM because this sounds like his talking points, LOL. Unless the FNM is trying to tell me that this is simply how they think, and what's strange is the very same members that support the increase are now the ones complaining about the 10%. Yeah, I don't know, because I don't know if they're looking at the issue holistically and saying that you're giving everybody else who can pay. All the rich people, they get the same tax break, right? So that's unfair. And that's the problem with value-added tax, yes? It's a regressive system of taxation. So I'm paying 10% of what I consume, all right? But that may be my entire salary goes to consumption, all right? The rich people, that's less than 1% of their salary, what I may be spending on consumption. They're going to pay the tax, and they're going to be fine. And I'm going to be here flat broke. Well, I ain't going to be broke. Some of y'all are going to be broke. You understand what I'm saying? So the rich are going, yeah, man, no problem. You want to put that to 20%. Knock yourself out, right? So A, we're going to pass it on to the consumer if we have businesses. B, we can pay it. We'll be fine. You guys are going to be out. And that's the problem. So you don't look at the rich and go, well, the rich should pay their fair share and put value-added tax on them. You go, like, no, you got to tax something else that they're into. And don't act like rich people don't know about taxation. Where you come from, they tax you. That's probably why you're here. It says, boy, your mother like mine. She died a year ago at 80. She told me, boy, you know how old I is. If I want to, give me it, right? That's what my mother... I'm so sorry. I don't mean to denigrate anybody who's out there making an honest living. I don't know that I want to buy food from the back of your car or from your little trolley where there's no running. I don't know. I think that we should have some sort of system where these people can get a provisional business license or a small business license. And there is some sort of, at least show me a sign you took a food handler's course. Although I will buy Kong Salad off the side of the road if I have to. Since the previous administration criticized the administration for purchasing the hotel, but now we see how that initiative is about to benefit the people of Grand Bahama. I don't know. Are you sure about that? That's a long road to walk to get back. I mean, how about we never bought the hotel in the first place and found a buyer for it and make a deal with Hutchinson? Well, that may not have worked. Dr. Sands wanted to remove corned beef from the breadbasket. Then there was the Keep Up the Corned Beef March by the PLP fanatics. Yep, I'm with you. I think that was too much. It says, great show as usual. I need no food on the side of the road. I am trying to get the belly. Yeah, I'm with you. So if we start imposing more and more taxes on the rich, they'll eventually leave. True. However, I'm not suggesting that we bleed the rich because you can't eat the rich, right? I'm suggesting that if you have a $30 million home, and they do exist in the Bahamas, I don't know that it's fair that your real property tax is capped at $5 million. And I'm going to pay the same rate, percentage-wise, as, what the dude name? David Copperfield? Is that his name? Right? And Johnny Depp, and who else own houses around here? Tyler Perry and Oprah? Yeah, I just don't think that that's fair. And I understand, well, the rich want to be here because the rich want to buy homes and the rich want to... Yeah, but the rich also buy homes in Europe, and they get taxed. So I don't know that the argument that the rich people come and go, well, we don't want to pay any taxes. It's like, man, come on. You know what this is, right? You know what this is. I'm not saying I want to tax all your income. I'm not saying I want to tax all your assets. I'm not saying I want to tax your capital gains. I'm not saying I want to tax your estate when you die. I'm saying if you have a $30 million home in the Bahamas and you know that your home is worth $30 million because you are in the Bahamas, and you can resell your home for $35, $40 million because you're in the Bahamas, then pay some more taxes on the value of your home to help the Bahamas keep everything going. One, I was listening to a former politician talking about how a foreigner who owns a $15 million home in the Bahamas saying our taxes are not even on the level as a county. For goodness sake, go get this money from behind the wealthy gates. This says, LOL, only an F&M rose red colored glasses viewer would think a net lost sale of a hotel is a F&M achievement. Not a little loss either, $100 million loss. All right, let's talk about Grand Lucayne. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm going to spend all day not talking about the other stuff. I want to talk about Grand Lucayne. Chester Cooper speech. Chester Cooper speech is here. We're going to email this to myself so that I can read it on my laptop right here. All right. The long and short of it is that Electra America Hospitality a group has agreed to purchase the Grand Lucayne Hotel in its entirety for $100 million. Okay? $5 million of that, they say, is going to go to the Ministry of Grand Bahamas collab program, which is working with the Tourism Development Corporation to develop Bahamian entrepreneurs in tourism. They're going to donate the furniture from the properties to the people of Grand Bahama. And they've committed to doing a number of upgrades and renovations to the tune of $300 million. Dollars on Grand Bahama. I think it's a very, very good development and good announcement, and I'm hoping it all works out. I'd like to see the details, like I say, to make sure that there's nothing hidden in there that looks weird, but I think that this is a positive development. And this isn't a company that's a nobody. They were formed recently, as I understand, like a couple of years ago. But they were formed from different interests that have been in this business for years. They have hotels, all right? And they also have different assets and things. They do the parent company. Electra America Hospitality Group owns a number of properties. They do not appear to have been, prior to this, in the resort business, okay? That's what it appears to be to me. This seems to be the first resort that they're going to get into, and it would be, if not the most valuable property they own, because they do own property in Manhattan, which is some of the most valuable real estate on the planet. If it's not the most valuable property they own, which I'm certain it's not, they are indeed spending a lot of money. $300 ain't no little bit of money to fix up the Grand Lucayne. All right? So I think it's a good development. If they live up to what they say they're going to do, that'd be great. So let's talk about some of the things that they got in here. All right? So it's $100 million to buy the property and $300 million in renovations and construction. So, and Cooper's very proud of it. Again, we took a bath on this to the tune of $100 million, so I don't understand how it could be like, man, this is a good thing. We just ate $100 million. And listen. If $100 million ain't a lot of money to y'all, then just give me one, right? Just for I ain't a body you no more. And give Kermie one, too. Give me two, I can break Kermie off something. Just give me one at $100 million, and I'll shut up and go away, since this ain't a bunch of money to y'all. We lost a ton of money. All your VAT on your bread basket items, that's what's going to pay for this. So Electra's committed to a luxury lifestyle hotel with approximately 200 rooms and two dozen villas. And that's the Lighthouse. Is that the Lighthouse Point property? Okay. Electra will also open an upscale convention hotel with Naughty says I need a cool million also. Thanks. Shout out to Naughty. I got you, Naughty. You know what? Just give me five and let me break it up. All right? I can, and you ain't nobody can come bother you. Not from over here. No more. Electra's will also open an upscale convention hotel with more than 500 rooms that will cater to the group and convention markets. Okay, good. And there is also an all-suite family resort with more than 200 condo hotel-style units being planned for the property. Let me see something there. 200, 500, 200, 900. That is less rooms than the property now has, correct? Yes, I believe that's so. Let me see. Yes. Yeah. Now, which hotel is it that they're doing the all-suite resort? If the Lighthouse one is the 200, and the convention one is in the... Where's the convention one? Which one is the convention hotel now at Grand Lacan? In any event, the... Unless they are gutting one of these hotels and building larger rooms, that may make sense. Everyone want to be. I gotta go collect for all y'all. They can run me. I can need 20 by the time I finish trying to get for everybody. Unless they're gonna gut one of these hotels, and that must be what they're gonna do. They're gonna have to gut one of these hotels and build bigger rooms. All right, no problem. They're gonna do a casino. They're gonna do a golf course. They're gonna build a new clubhouse. They're going to build villas on the golf course. All right. Now, I didn't used to think that houses on a golf course made a lot of sense because I was broke and didn't know anything about it. I've been to some people's houses on golf courses, and it's fantastic. All right. So we are looking at a serious development here that... seems to be really, they have an idea of a plan and a vision for it. He said that everything's going to be finished by 2025. The deal's going to be closed by summer. 2025. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, that's not bad. 3 years. Everything opens up in 3 years. Everything's going to be open in 3 years. He said the property will remain open the entire time. Now, that's one part of it. Cooper's got a very big other part to deal with, the government of the Bahamas in any event. Several very big parts, but one major, huge, huge part is the Grand Bahama International Airport, which isn't really a thing at the moment. You're going to have to build a facility there that allows for U.S. preclearance, all right? Because U.S. preclearance left Grand Bahama, which is a problem. You're going to have to build a facility there that U.S. preclearance will feel comfortable being at, which means you're going to have to actually build something state-of-the-art. So to have all the security protocols in place. The request for proposals or something like that is out, I believe, for the airport, and we got to see how that goes. So you're going to have to build that. You're going to have to finish the airport before they finish the entire resort. So you probably got 2 years to build that airport. You can build a solid airport probably in 18 months if you put your mind to it. But we haven't heard what's going to happen with the airport yet. So if you get the airport going and you get the Grand Lucayne going, that's good. You're also going to need to figure out the cruise passenger issue, and you're going to have to figure out Freeport Harbor. So I don't know if Royal Caribbean and ITM were still in talks to purchase the harbor or take it over, but I would go ahead and try to get that out of Hutchinson's hands as well. All right. Because to me, all right, Hutchinson was duty-bound, contractually bound, to do certain things for Freeport and for Grand Bahama, all right? And everybody talks tough when it comes to, and I hate to sound like this, but when it comes to the average Bahamian, right? Everybody talk tough, right? We're going to garnish your wages. But why you didn't take away some of Hutchinson's benefits when they didn't live up to their end of the bargain with the city of Freeport and the hotel? Right? You're hardcore with them, with us. You're hardcore with us, with them, not so much. It's like, well, because the foreign investor will, listen, they're going to do what they have to do. So just like me and you go, well, don't look for my vote if you raise VAT. The foreign investor can go, and I ain't trying to badmouth Sarkis, right? Because he's the homie. But what used to happen with Baja Mar, where they owed all that money before Chow Tai Fook paid it off to BC and NIB and all those other places, they would go, well, we could pay the light bill, but we're going to have to close the hotel. We got to lay off 200 people, right? Same finesse we use. Well, you know, boss, you can put my taxes up. I can vote for another fella. You can do that. Right, you can garnish my wages. You know, I ain't going to vote for you. The same tactics we use, they use. And they're in a position to actually, you know, really impact the economy because if they lay off 200 people, that's a problem. So hopefully they're figuring out what they're going to do with the Grand Bahama International Airport, and they're figuring out what they're going to do with the harbor, and they're going to help work with Carnival to get the cruise port going up. Because the Carnival cruise port is supposed to, that was supposed to already been built, but the groundbreaking's tomorrow. And Ginger Moxie also talked about a hospital. Anyway, it's been about 9 months. Is that right or eight? Y'all off to a pretty good start, but you're going to have to be focused and intentional where we're going moving forward. So I think this is a good development for the Grand Lucay, and I still want to see what was going on with all the other agreements, because here's what pisses me off, right? Whenever you want to talk down about the previous administration is when you pull out the agreements. So there was an agreement with Wynn. I ain't trying to alarm nobody, but that condo complex y'all built is close to the water. Anyway, by the PM thing, there was an agreement with Wynn, and nobody knew a Jesus thing about the agreement in the public until it was time for the F&M administration to try to justify buying the Grand Lucay Hotel. Right? I didn't, anyway. But you had that in your back pocket the whole time. So I still want to see the deal with Royal Caribbean ITM. If the deal is canceled, then why can't we see it? So I want them to do that as well. I don't want to just go, well, that's past and prologue, and I want to know. What was in it? What is being agreed to on our behalf? Because this ain't y'all money. This ain't y'all stuff. This is our stuff. Juan, the new buyer's going to flip that just like BTC. And that's fine. You know what? That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. The Grand Lucayan property is 1 million square feet. Okay? If you are a savvy investor, and I don't see what the problem is, right? If you're a savvy investor and you go, you know, they're selling this property. If we sink $100 million into buying it, let's say another $300 million to renovating and bringing it back up, and let's just say, for argument's sake, another $100 million in marketing, promotion, operating costs, and the government always helps with that. But let's just say $500 million we're looking at. While y'all build the brand new airport and someone else build the cruise port and someone else fix up the harbor, in 5 years, our property could be worth $1 billion. All right? And that may be what they want to do. And ain't nobody could fault an investor for buying a property to flip it to make more money. Because that's what I want to do. Right? You build a business as best you can, and someone comes along and go, you know what? I think your business has a lot of value. You've increased the value of your business. I think I could take it even further. I'd like to buy it from you. That's how rich people get rich a lot of times. All right. So I'm not of the opinion that if Electra buys the property, we got to lock them into some 30-year agreement. I don't care what you do with it. Go sell it. As long as you fulfill your commitments that Cooper says you have, although I want to see all this in writing, I don't have a problem with that. You could flip it 20 times. No problem, right? Because, for instance, look at the Sandals Emerald Bay in Exuma. All right, that was previously the Four Seasons. All right. That closed. Ingram orchestrated Sandals to purchase it. All right, and it's doing just fine. And it ain't a problem. Look at the Ocean Club. All right, one and only Ocean Club. Okay, that was owned by Kirzner, and it was sold. Right? So there's I don't care if they want to flip it. If I had $500 million, y'all would never hear from me again. But if I just had $500 million and I felt I need to be busy, I'm going to go ahead and purchase the hotel and look at the valuation a few years from now after I get it up and running. And I'd cash out if I want to. And that's just business. It says, not close to the water one, the gold wind vibe in the water. I don't want to say it because I don't want to be like, I don't want to cause anybody any alarm. Bro, I was downtown Saturday when we had about 45 minutes of rain, and you could break out a gondola and take a water tour of downtown, pretty much. So that little close to the water, to me. We got a call. Let's do a call, and then we'll take a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon. No? Okay. We got another call. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How are you today?
I'm great. How's it going?
Okay, that thing you're talking about, the 10%, you are absolutely correct on that. It wouldn't make much a difference. But I suggest it's time now to introduce corporate tax if we want to make the rich pay their healthy fare of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And the hotel project in Grand Mama,
mm-hmm.
I hope it pulls off good because they need some kind of boost in Grand Mama at this time.
Absolutely.
So we look like we're heading down the right road at this time. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you. Word on the street was minutes then were giving a hotel away. All right, and providing a loan for them and not locking them into actually doing anything with the property for a decade. I want to see that table in Parliament. Chester Cooper, someone tells me Jasper asked about the deal and Chester Cooper said he'd talk about it in Parliament. Great, that's what I want to hear. That's great. Tell me what the other deal was and let's go forward from there. We got a call. Let's take a call and we'll go to a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, a pleasant good afternoon, Juan. How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
How's Anton? Anton, you surface.
Yeah, I've surfaced. Just to make a comment, though, on the wanted to make a comment on the zero rated, and then the 10% that you were speaking about right before your break.
Yeah, by all means, go ahead.
Okay. What you were explaining was that the zero rating of VAT was an advantage for middle class and rich persons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't need a break. Am I correct?
I think, yeah, that's my opinion, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the biggest concern with the zero rating of the former administration was that it allowed for the major restaurants, companies that sell bread in the country, and when I say restaurants, I mean food restaurants, Kentucky, Burger King, McDonald's, other local restaurants and hotels owned by the billionaire conglomerates, et cetera, it was giving them the biggest savings.
Exactly.
And those savings were not being passed on to the Bahamian people, which is why I thought to call in to explain that, to just take the explanation a little bit further. And what we found happening at the end of it all, when you conduct the analysis, is that while you gave them a savings, as big companies in the country, they were also getting paid to their exemptions and their discounts that they apply for when they pay so much money in VAT every quarter. That does not make any sense. They were collecting millions upon tens of millions of dollars, which the government, in fact, was not able to afford to pay them in a timely manner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the government ended up trying to negotiate, well, they gave them a tax exemption on that next VAT amount filing, which makes absolutely no sense. And so you're giving these major hotels millions upon tens of millions of dollars in savings. And then on top of that, they're coming behind with their VAT filing, and they're applying for the discount for paying all this money on the zero-rated items while not passing on the savings. And then the government on top of that is paying them monies back. Right. Does that make sense to you?
No, I don't. I don't think it does. You know, and they're all doing it. They're getting the savings, and they're all, you know.
No, but see, as an individual one, even as some like the Key, Old Fort Bay, Ocean Club, Port New Providence, wherever, that's just an individual of a household of 3, 4, or 5 persons. But when we are talking hotels who are servicing up to 1 million, up to 5 million people in a given year, we're talking major money. So you can imagine how much discounts these people were applying for every VAT filing cycle. It was taking the government down a miserable trail, and it further enriched the already super wealthy in the country, which made absolutely no sense, in addition to the point that you made where middle-class persons and rich persons could afford to pay 40 cents or 50 cents more on bread, or even 80 cents more on bread, because it's really not much more than that at the end of the day, right? And then the last point that I'd like to make on Awolokayo, can I?
Go ahead, Reda. Go ahead. Yes.
I'm not going to say that I'm ecstatic about the bottom line price, right? Because at the end of the day, we're still losing money as a Bahamian people.
Yep.
But what I will say is that when you look at what the Davis administration got the Grand Lucayan sold for, mm-hmm. it is tens of millions of dollars more than what the former administration was selling, the almost $50 million more than what they were selling the Grand Lucayan for to the group that the Davis administration cut that relationship with. That would have also crippled Grand Bahama if that group decided any day in time they own the port, because they're in partnership with the Hutchinson Group. They would have owned the port, they would have owned the airport, they would have owned the hotel. If they decided at any given point the government is pissing them off, pardon the French, and they want to take their business elsewhere, can you imagine the kind of dire straits that would have left Grand Bahama and Freeport in? That deal in itself, one, it made absolutely no economic, no finance, and no business sense. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunities that are going to come about. No, baby, don't do that. That are going to come about as a result of the deal that was closed today with the acting Prime Minister Chester Cooper and the Minister for Grand Bahama, Ginger Moxie. I think that they're on the right track, despite that we've lost some funds with the overall sale. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, my brother. Appreciate it. All right. Do we have to take a break? Or are we okay? We got to take a break? All right, we'll take a break. It says, bro, aren't you contradicting yourself by having a problem with persons buying a hot dog from the roadside, but yet you yourself purchased Kung Salad from the roadside? Explain the difference, please. There's no difference. It is a contradiction. Yeah. You got me. I can't save it. Yeah, it's a contradiction. Right. Go buy a hot dog from the roadside. Hey, do your thing. I'll stop buying Kung Salad from randos. Although I got a guy. I don't really do, you know. I will if I have to. But I got a guy. We gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win. Whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others, it's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution on Guardian Radio. We're talking Grand Lucayan. We're talking breadbasket items, which led us to a broader discussion about taxation, which I think, you know, needs to be had, and we need to keep talking about it. Because VAT's regressive, right? And you got to strike a balance between taxing those who can afford more and then putting too much strain on them. Also making sure that you value the contribution that you would say wealthy homeowners do make. But you gotta have an honest discussion about it, and it's gotta be fair. Right. Says Juan, because of this discussion, I'm reconsidering purchasing that $18 million home in Ocean Club. Okay, I talked you out of that. All right, there you go. Says hello, Juan. Since your number keeps going up, break me off about 999K, please. I'll share some of mine with one or two people. Thanks. I can't go for everybody. I and Moses. Yeah. What if Moses had gone to Moses went to Pharaoh and be like, hey man, just to set over here in this section of like the slave housing, I just come for them. Everybody. There's a line. Everybody else can. There's a couple of houses. I just want to take them out of Egypt if it's all good. And thankfully, he didn't do that. Now one of my Pan-Africanist friends is going to call me and tell me that the Israelites didn't build the pyramid. I don't know. I don't know. Juan, who could I talk to convince them to regularize apartment rentals because they're asking $900 a month for garbage or a hole in the wall? $900 they need to tax people who have apartments attached to their homes. Huh. And to tax people who have apartments attached to their homes. Now, that's a tricky one. Because if you're saying that you're taxing them because of their property value, that's one thing. If you're saying you're taxing them on the rental, that's another thing. And how do you avoid passing that taxation on to the renter? But $900, my brother? Anyway. You see in the real estate market out here? I'll try to not talk too much of my business. When I got married 10 years ago, and we got a two-bedroom townhouse we were renting, the rent was $2,000 a month. Right, I couldn't afford that, and the guy who owned the building liked me, right? And he's like, "Oh, I know McCartney. He's newlywed and everything like that." And so he gave me a break, a significant break on the rent, which is great. But that was 10 years ago, and I wasn't behind no gate. It was $2,000 for a 2-bedroom townhouse. That wasn't like no ultra modern. The refrigerator talked to you and all this other stuff. Good afternoon, Juan. I feel a sense of hope for Grand Bahama. Good news all around. Also, the carnival groundbreaking tomorrow. I feel like jumping. Yeah, I mean, they seem like they're getting the ducks in a row. This is $2,000 a month. Yeah, man. Yes. says rent has gotten ridiculous. It's the Airbnb effect. People are charging crazy prices for garbage. Yeah. I'll say this. Where I was living after I got married was very nice. I keep telling y'all, listen. Listen to me. Anyway. This marriage thing, you gotta be ready to put on your grown man drawers and understand that you have an immense amount of responsibility on you, right? That's what it is. Like the love attraction and the ardor, that's all a part of it, and the companionship, that's all a part, and that's the best part of it, that's the most worthwhile part of it, and the kids and all that, that's the best part of it, but there is a great deal of responsibility that comes along with it, all right? So wrap your head around that right now, and you're going to have, you can talk, you're going to be able to talk to your significant other and make concessions, but you want your wife to feel comfortable, all right? That's what you want your wife to feel comfortable. Took me a long time to learn this, right? You want the woman in your life to feel comfortable with where she's living. You want her to she wants to feel safe, all right? She wants to feel protected. Now, if your woman just wants to know and don't want work, then that's on you, but I'm saying there's a great deal of responsibility that comes with this. So one, for God's sake, please tell them fix Village Road. It's beyond ridiculous. How do you drive on that road daily? I do, it's bad. But you know what? I, having lived through the New Providence Road Improvement Project, I'm going to look toward the other side. So as long as y'all don't leave it like that, I got no problem. It says, what's your take on lifting the mask mandate, but allowing business establishments to decide whether you can enter with a mask or not? Oh, that's a tricky one. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could. A business establishment could tell you we're not going to serve you if you're not wearing a jacket. So I don't see why they can't refuse the service if you're not wearing a mask. It's their business. But I don't support the mask mandate. Says, Anton makes sense for now. Bless his PLP soul. He says, yes, marriage is a very serious thing. Serious in all caps. Yeah, you're going to have to. And that's why a lot of times it don't work out, because people ain't ready from a lot of different aspects, maturity, emotionally, financially. There's a lot that goes into it, and it's worth it if you find the right person. But you got to be a grown up and approach it in a grown way. Understand you have responsibilities, all right, that are paramount to just what you want. Vendors who sell food on the side of the road need to have running water and sanitizer to clean their hands. I am buying nothing from someone who doesn't like cleanliness. Yep. It says the rich are rich because they don't pay taxes. They basically don't care about the Bahamas. Yeah, I mean, but rich people pay taxes, man. Like Elon Musk and all that, they know what they have to do. They understand that he's buying Twitter. He knows that comes with a great deal of taxation, although a lot of corporations in the States avoid taxes. Says, when you set taxes, I think you need to find the sweet spot in terms of what the rich and the middle class can bear. The poor can be considered, but by and large, while the poor don't pay the lion's share of taxes, they benefit from the social programs that are funded by taxes. Yeah, I agree. And you cannot deny that the rich and the middle class do inject a lot of money into the economy. It just is true. You know? At the same time, you should be able to approach a wealthy homeowner reasonably and be like, look, we just need to make sure that you're paying your fair share, and here's what we're going to do. And you know what? To the extent that you have a responsible government and they're fulfilling their fiduciary responsibility to the people, I will find that most wealthy people, I would estimate, wouldn't have a problem paying what they deem to be reasonable taxes. But if you're just going to build baseball stadiums, yeah. And you can't run the country as if only poor people live in it. And so that's my thing. You do want to look at the poor and go, well, we want to alleviate most of what's happening. And for the reason that Anton mentioned, with the breadbasket items and for the reason that I mentioned that you're giving all these people who could afford to pay a tax break. I think you take your hit with the poor people and the breadbasket items and you go ahead and find ways to help them more quickly. Because what I find, I know I'm running out of time here, what I find strange, right, was this juxtaposition between Keith Bell saying, well, Jesus Lord, look at all these people came to this job fair, right? And the people at the job fair going, yeah, I don't have enough to make ends meet. I don't have enough to do this and X, Y, Z. I can't get everything I want. And then Obi Wilscombe going, well, there's less than half the people we anticipated would be on the feeding program, so things are going well, you know? And I don't know that those things line up. I think you maybe need to consider that either social service is not effective in getting the assistance to the people who need it the most, or they're too slow and people don't want to rely on it, or people are turned off on it, or you're just not trying to identify the people who really do need that help. All right? We got to go? Yeah, we got to go. Says 29 here again, McCartney, you're one of my top favorite talk shows, but every time I hear you and Howard Grant talk about marriage, I want to run in the opposite direction. Don't run. Don't run, buddy. Don't run. You, I know we got to run. I'm going to say this, right? There's going to be like several times a week when you wake up and a beautiful, soft, lovely woman is laying in your bed and all that you've gone through is going to be worth it. We got to get out of here. You guys take care. Have a great day, Bahamas.